Good evening. Well, now I can see that we are live. We've been waiting. This is the call to order, the Public Works Advisory Board, and we'll start with the roll call, starting at my left.
I am here.
And you are?
I am Vicki Landis.
So my microphone's not on. This is Vicki Landis. I am here.
And I'm Barry Dorfman, the chairperson.
And then I think
Mr. Ewing will update us on Mr. Olson, who's not here.
I'm Jane Welsbach, co-chair.
Dan Glessman.
Noah Smuckler.
Roger, you said you were going to tell us about Bill.
Is it announcements?
Just do it now during roll call.
I had a chance to see Bill Olson today, and he's doing very well. His right knee was replaced. He's at French Hospital. He should be home Friday. He's in very good spirits, very pleased, and he wanted me to give his best to everybody, to all involved. So hello from Bill, and we expect him back at the next meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We now will, per our usual procedure, have a moment of silence. And now we will proceed with the acceptance of the agenda. I have
Mr. Chair, we humbly request that the new business item for the parking
yes.
management plan.
I'm aware. I'm going to say in. I have some changes that are discussed with Bill. One, just the logistics of the staff timing that the first item of business be the parking management plan. And I would like to suggest that we also tonight, and consider for the future, and I discussed this with Bill, in the interest of time to allow more thorough discussion over other items, receive the director's report with the Bill saying there are these items though. So we won't take up, though, any business till after we go through announcements, written communications, and public comment, of course. Are there any announcements that staff have?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Bruce Hambo, Public Services Director. I'd like to take the opportunity now to introduce our new city engineer. His name is Rob Leivick. And he comes to us from the city of San Luis Obispo. He's had about, say, 20 or so years of municipal planning experience. And, you know, please join me in welcoming Rob Leivick. You will be seeing more of Rob and less of Bill and quite a bit more of Dylan, too, beginning from here on. So you'll have your primary staff will be Rob, and Dylan will be here on the capital project side of the equation. Janine will be here, you know, whenever she has her items related to the trolley or the franchise agreements, dial-a-ride, and so forth. But anyway, just wanted to take the opportunity to introduce Rob and tell you folks you'll be seeing more of him and more of Dylan, too.
Happy to meet everybody and look forward to working more with the Public Works Advisory Board. I'm really looking forward to it. Thank you.
Just one question. Your phone number is the same?
It's the same as Frank's.
Okay.
You might want to switch it.
And email is different. It's rlivek at...
How do you spell your last name?
Actually? L-I-V is in Victor, I-C-K.
And we know the app part.
Yes.
It'll be the same.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And very welcome.
Any other announcements?
Oh,
from the staff? Any, Vicki?
I have one. The Regional Transit Authority, SLORTA, is proposing new schedules for the regional transit buses effective this summer, and they're going to be holding some open workshops throughout the county to take your input. The schedules have been posted on the different routes for regular riders. I know one of the changes is possibly an evening route coming in from San Luis back into Morro Bay, which is nice. And also, I think they're trying to coordinate the connection times between, say, North Coast, North County, and South County. They'll also say that if you can't make it, you can phone SLORTA at 781-4472 or email them at jgillespie, that's J-G-I-L-L-E-S-P-I-E, at SLORTA, SLORTA.org, and you can give them your comments. And the meetings are all going to be from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m., those different times. So you can give them a call, too, and find out. There's also one in San Luis Obispo. So just letting the public know that those are going to be out there, and there'll be some changes coming. Thanks.
And, Jane? Thank you. This is the time for public comments, and there's no one in the audience tonight, but I want everyone to know that in the audience who is not staff who would make public comments unless I miss someone. Pardon?
There's always somebody out there.
There.
The spirit of somebody.
Oh, the spirit. Well, I want... when we do later discuss our agenda action plan, we're hoping to have some discussions and presentations that certainly will have interest to people at home and maybe even people to come, and we'll publicize those. We hope that we want to get a greater level of participation. Because this is the chance for citizens to begin to raise and shape issues through their public input and comments, whether it's by contacting members of the board, staff, or seizing the moment and coming in more than spirit. The I'm going to close the public comments. There being none. And go to the consent calendar, which is approval of the minutes. And are there any changes to the minutes? I saw none. So I, hearing no changes, I will just declare by consensus the minutes accepted as submitted. God, that's unusual. We usually have something, so someone finds something. And I don't think it'll take long because...
Sources has appealed the Superior Court decision. That stayed or temporarily halted the clock on the curtailment of extractions from the Delta. DWR and the Department of Fish and Game entered into an MOU affirming the commitment to reinstate the consultation, the federal consultation procedures for the biological opinions, not only for the Federal Endangered Species Act, but to incorporate the California Endangered Species Act. And as a result of this MOU, DWR withdrew their request for the permit that we had referred to earlier. The upshot of that is that from all indications that state water deliveries will not be affected at all until at least next spring, which is the time that they believe that the federal environmental agencies, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, National Marine Fisheries, will have issued their biological opinions on all the threatened and endangered species affected in the Delta. I've attached those the memos to that effect to and from DWR, but as it sits right now, no effect on us, at least through next spring.
Thank you. Are there any items others saw that wanted?
I have a couple of questions, if now is the time.
Yeah, on what Bill talked about.
On the potable water production, why are we getting 30 acre feet less than normal? And is this a trend that is going to continue, or?
That's 30 acre feet less than our, if you took our 1,313 acre feet contract and divided by 12, that would be 109 acre feet per month. What we're doing is we're reducing our state water deliveries and increasing the groundwater production.
So it's our choice, not state water?
It's our choice, yes.
Second and last question on the diesel plant recovery system?
Yes, sir.
Is it too late to inquire about a cogeneration system for the plant?
No, it's not too late to inquire. I don't mean to be facetious.
No, I should have said, is it too late to install a cogeneration?
That's something that we can discuss. I don't know how practical it is and what waste byproduct we would be using to generate the additional electricity, but it's something that we can talk about, whether you want to do it at the board level or we can do it individually.
...who didn't make it to the bids because of work on Highway 41, but we had very competitive bidding last Monday night, City Council chose to award to the second low bidder, who was Sousa Construction. The amount of that was $1,690,000 and change. And I'd be lying to you if I could tell you exact dollars. But so $365,000. Thanks, Bill. So the bids have come in good. We've talked to SLOCOG about getting some additional funds potentially, and we look forward to starting that project. What happens next is we go back to Coastal Commission to get our permit, and then once we have the Coastal Commission permit, then we will start construction. And we would anticipate that beginning sometime later, like in the summer, and then that project should be wrapped up before the year's over. So we're all very excited about that. It's going to be an excellent project and a huge addition to Morro Bay.
Any others? Good. Well,
Potentially a follow-up on that. Is there a public comment period about the project itself that would be scheduled at some point down the road?
Not that I would anticipate. We're through kind of the planning phase. We've had final documents. I think those were finalized in March. We had public comment opportunity on Monday night at the council meeting. But certainly if there's, you know, interested public, I've had some questions about kayak access and some other things, and I will entertain any questions that anybody has.
As it went through, before it got to the council, it had come to both here and I think other groups. But then we will now, as agreed before, move on to...
Mr. Chair, the one other item is it's part of your package. There has been an application received at the planning division for a Wi-Fi facility in town. I don't know a whole lot about it. It's just I saw it in the office when we were putting the package together, so I grabbed it and put it in. So that's an active application, and if you follow the Planning Commission, you'll be seeing that coming up on a future agenda for them. Correct.
That will not, in its current form, come to this board because it's for a facility.
I did have a question on that particular subject, if now is the right time to ask it.
And that is calling staff about questions. Moving to new business, the parking management plan, and then we'll go back to old business. Welcome, Mr. Ambo.
Hello. Thank you, Mr. Chair and board members. We're presenting the parking management plan, and over the years there's been quite a bit of discussion about the topic of parking in the Embarcadero and the downtown areas. On numerous occasions, this board has provided recommendations on downtown parking and parking on the Embarcadero. And that's how the idea of developing a parking management plan was formulated. It was based upon all of this past history and discussion about the topic of parking. So I'll go through our presentation really briefly here. But the study and purpose of the parking management plan, there are several of them, but it's really to determine the current status of the parking supply and what the demand pressures are, to evaluate our parking standards and develop recommendations to modify them if appropriate, assess alternative parking solutions, develop a feasible action plan and some implementation strategies for accomplishing or implementing the management plan, develop a financial plan. And the parking management plan itself is a document that is intended to make the best use of the parking resources that we have in the Embarcadero and downtown areas. And lastly, a major component of this is to educate our boards, commissions, and the public about the nature of parking, the expense of parking, and the trade-offs that go with parking versus using the land for other uses or, you know, prime coastal land. On the overhead, and as you can see, that's the geographic study area for the management plan, and essentially included the central downtown areas and the Embarcadero, and that is the study area that's recommended in the management plan. And then just to give you a brief background, how we got here and where we've been, is that in the peak, we did surveys during the peak and off-peak seasons to get an indication of the inventory boards, counting spaces and meter times and space turnover. Is to share the results of what they came up with, and then also see if the community had any suggestions or observations about the parking conditions in the community. And then we also rolled out in another workshop some of the recommended strategies that we were put in the toolbox to use in the parking management plan, and that was in November of 2006. And then, and since then, we have kind of assessed some of the financial components, kind of laid out an implementation plan and connected it with the financial implications of accomplishing those strategies that are identified in the management plan. So this is the review process. We have been to, the Merchants Association does meetings, and we were at one last week or the week before. The same presentation will be given to the Harbor Advisory Board, the Planning Commission. Tomorrow at the Community Promotions Committee, and any other groups are invited to participate in the public review process at any or all of these advisory boards. Excuse me. And before I forget, the document, the parking management plan document itself, is available for review at our office at 955 Shasta. It's also available at the public library. It's also available at Mills Reap Graphics. If somebody wants to purchase one, they can go there where they've got a disc and they can get their own copy. And it's also available on our website. If somebody is interested, they just want to scroll through it, or if they want to print sections of it, it's accessible there too. So just wanted to let everybody know that's how you can get a hold of it if you're interested in reviewing any or all of it. But the basic conclusion from the management plan is that we only have a parking challenge at a few key blocks, during a few key hours, during a few key days, during a few months of the year. So it really what that gets down to is just in a few days for a few hours, during about a 3 or 4 month period, and during special events, we have isolated parking challenges, which means it's a little bit more inconvenient to find a space directly in front of your favorite place to parking supply problem. And that was one of the major things that we wanted to test and get a grasp on, and hopefully this kind of brings us to a workable conclusion. And that, but what it points to is the need for efficient and effective management of the existing parking supply, perhaps putting the best use to the parking resources that we have. This is a summary of the parking supply that's available. You can see in the parking area that was delineated earlier on the map, we've got about 2,453 parking spaces available. The split between that is on spaces. We've got almost roughly equal, about 1,057 on-street spaces, and off-street public spaces, which include public parking lots and private parking lots, at about 1,396. So that's the total parking supply available. What we're going to get into now is really what some of the strategies are for dealing with this and making more effective use of these resources. They involve a number of things, including signage, public information, shared parking resources, employee parking, expanded trolley service, delivery truck parking, angled parking modifications, pedestrian enhancements, alteration of parking time limits, restict parking restrictions, public-private part of the concept of public-private partnerships, in-lieu fees in general, and then we've also, as another kind of a design-related issue, identified green parking, which is more of a low-impact development, kind of along the lines of sustainable development, where, for example, you wouldn't have as much of pervious cover, or we would have a surface that would be would be pervious and not impervious, and would work more with nature in the design of the parking lot. But one of the key observations that they identified along the signage concept is that there's really no sign around in the community to direct the unfamiliar traveler to the parking areas that we have. So that's one of the key things that they observed, is we perhaps can make more effective use of signage to the unfamiliar traveler and show them where these public parking lots are, which are also integrated with the trolley loops, too. The periphery of the Embarcadero at ample parking on both of the ends of the Embarcadero at Tidelands Park, and then also along the Front Street parking lot. And what we're trying to do is make more effective use of those resources and free up the more congested areas in the middle of the Embarcadero. But the idea of getting this information out is an important element, and one of the recommendations we had is to perhaps develop a logo that identifies where the parking areas are so that people can see, in the signage, this is directing me to where there's public parking available, and it's kind of got the design continuity of the logo. And then also maybe putting the parking map on the chamber webpage, on the city's webpage, the idea of putting the maps out in the informational kiosks. Some of the hotels, all of the hotels have those kinds of things, that so that folks know where the parking areas are. And that's the idea of developing a map to get all that together. But that's one of the things that we really don't have good information on just yet. And we could also include that to special event promoters. You know, they could be responsible for disseminating that information. So those are some of the examples, and there's a long list, as you can see, of some of the other features of the public information program, getting the word out to the public. One of the ideas that got an enthusiastic reception at the merchants meeting is the concept of having a separate trolley that just runs from Tidelands Park to the Rock back and forth with about 15-minute headways. And that would be an additional trolley that would connect with the other trolley that runs through the rest of the town. But this way, folks would know that, you know, they could park in these areas that are, you know, a little bit more inconvenient to walk from, but would easily be able to take a trolley ride and wait 15 minutes, and it would come every 15 minutes. So they could go out to the Rock, and pretty soon, with Dylan's help, we'll have the Harbor Walk built, and so that'll be a nice experience of pedestrian amenity. And so that's one of the things that looked pretty developed, kind of a five-year timeline for accomplishing that. I'm not going to get into a lot of the detail on the later years. I'm going to spend more time getting into the next year or two, because those are the critical things. And hopefully, we'll be able to see some improvement in the parking situation sooner than later, and we can grow into these solutions as the need arises, depending upon how effective these management strategies are in the near term. But in year one, which is now, the main thing that we'd like to do is just make sure that we get the parking management plan with its desired action plan and implementation plan approved through the process and on the books. And this gives us, once that's completed, it sets into motion the implementation program and gives us a framework to work from upon which to base these decisions. Because you remember, one of the components of this includes, you know, the financial implications of implementing these programs. But in year two, 2008, one of the other things some of the other positive feedback we got from the Merchants Association is that the suggestion that we work with the Community Promotions Committee in developing the logo idea of the parking areas. And so the merchants were enthused about this. The Promotions Committee is excited about that. We're meeting with them tomorrow, but the idea is that maybe we could work together in developing the logo program and the public information. So this is an example, just through this program alone, how we're in a form of a public-private partnership and leveraging like resources to get at a common need. We have a directional signage program. That's this. This was approved by the council a year or two ago, and that sets forth the idea that we have some gateway signs, directional signs, locational signs, and down to interpretive signs. And at the conclusion of the parking management plan, one of the first things we'll do is come back, and we'd be happy to come through this board, with recommendations for the signed copy and just where do we want to direct people. Because once we place the order for these signs, we don't want to have to change them. Here's an example of the material they selected for the signs. It's a very durable material for the directional signs. I think it carries with it about a 20-year guarantee on the colors and material. It had been preliminarily approved, so we're happy to get that. The gateway signs welcome people to the community, and then the directional signs say, come on in, this is how you get to where the parking and tourist areas are. So, and the other upshot of that meeting is that funding will be available for the interpretive signage, and it's quite likely for the directional signage to the parking. And that's all part of the scenic byways scenic byways designation that Highway 1 has. So that will be the signage. The activity on the signs will be picking up fairly soon at the conclusion of the management plan process. If the council is interested, what the implications on the trolley are, that we would have to buy another trolley, because the one that's available now is the backup. But if the council wanted to, we could apply for grant funding for the trolley, and perhaps Janine would be happy to speak to that. But and then we may be able to leverage up the application with a greater match for the funding. So in the kind of the beauty contest of who gets the funding, if we were able to put more money into this, and a funding source for this is actually the parking in lieu fund, so it's not general fund money that we may be able to use to make a more attractive competitive package for a new trolley. Conceivably, and there are some other ideas out here, we want to get at this idea of deliveries on the Embarcadero. That's a key thing. There may be a way to stripe some loading areas that are more prone to being used. One of the frustrating things is when there's plenty of curbside space, but the trucks still idle in the through lane for their deliveries. And I've seen that happen, and that's frustrating. So there's also an enforcement component to this. And one of the other things that we notice is employee parking. Employees often take some of the prime parking, and those aren't the intended guests. Those are probably pretty much the highlights of the second year of implementation. This also opens the door to the topic of parking and lieu fees. In lieu parking, one of the other recommendations in the parking management plan is the concept of reducing the parking requirements for realistic needs. In other words, people don't make separate trips to go to three different places. A lot of times they'll go down there and stop in three or four different places, or eat and go to two or three different places. They're not separate trips. So there's a concept of shared parking where, you know, a very good example is, for example, the bank on the weekends. You know, they're not open on the weekends. They've got a lot of parking, and they're downtown. So, you know, using shared parking at alternate times, and then reducing the code required amount of parking to a certain extent to what's normally feasible for people to do in order to financially succeed for their operation. A lot of these code developed regulations that are remnants from old county codes that are nationally set standards that don't really get at the unique circumstances of our communities. A lot of times they're developed for suburban situations or situations that aren't quite as unique as ours. There are a number of other coastal communities that we did use when we developed the parking regulations in the draft zoning ordinance, and we did use similar coastal jurisdictions with similar conditions like ours when we did our research. But all of those things put together kind of get at reducing the parking requirements, and that in and of itself kind of helps the parking problem in terms of providing realistic parking. And then those further structural adjustments in terms of modifying codes and getting into more detailed parking fixes through municipal codes and the like are addressed in third year in 2009. And then I won't get into any the other detail, but we could easily put in the request to include you know, the trolley and the signage, and I think it's possible to get the trolley and the signage and the whole thing ready for next year's peak season. You know, if everything goes as well. But, you know, the next steps really are to June 4th is the Planning Commission, June 7th is Harbor Advisory Board, and June 25th, actually, is the council meeting when this will be introduced. Oh, well, I'm looking. Sorry about your memo. I've got a calendar on this one. Yes. Anyway, we worked as just to roll it back a little bit. We worked the staff team that worked on this was Bill Boucher, Janine Burlingame, Frank Cunningham. We had Rachel Grossman. I don't know, you may or may not have met Rachel, but she's with the planning staff, and Mike Prater of the planning staff. I think those are pretty much, that was the team that reviewed this. This thing has been in development for close to a year, and so we're kind of relieved to finally get the thing out in the streets and get some feedback. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Looking at the schedule, I know, one, how many people have questions? Okay. I focus on immediate, and I will give the categories that I have concerns about and then go around, because maybe someone else will cover them. Well, I want to develop one that's very important, and I think that the one in an excellent report, the most, to me, outstanding deficiency, which I think needs to be corrected before it's finalized, is dealing with handicap parking. And I'll give the example. When you identify the plenty of parking three or four blocks away on the peripheries for the concentrated parking on those concentrated weekends, it's even going to be worse for what limited handicap parking there is. And it's just that there was no discussion. So you couldn't know that there was any awareness to factor in handicapped parking. Now, I don't know whether the trolleys are handicap capable.
No, they're not.
I don't think they are. So they are? Okay, so that's helpful, but it's just there should be a discussion because I think this is a city that is the kind of city we are. I think it's just, especially downtown, one has to think of what will the future be, and is the one space enough if you want to get more going there? It's just a discussion of it. In another, I think that was appropriate area to discuss it, when to talk about that. Just what would the ratios be or any need? And the other is you don't gain, regardless of how people feel about the parallel parking, the diagonal parking, you don't gain as many spaces. The thrust of my comment is it really needs to be discussed in some way. And I'll stop at that because I'm sure my other items will be covered in, mm-hmm. in starting with Vicki and going around, unless we'll just do it that way. And again, excellent report. I encourage people to look at it in the many ways that it was, because it don't be scared off by the thickness. It's very readable.
It
the
is.
Maps were, for me at least, easy to follow, and I'm spatially challenged that way.
Okay, well, first of all, I want to say, you know, all the years I've lived here, it's amazing that as many times as we look at parking, we come back to the same thing. We really don't have a parking problem except for a short amount of time each day, certain days. And I live in the downtown core area, so I know if there's a good movie playing at the theater. I know if there's a festival going on. I know just by looking outside. So I really, I know that a lot of work was put into the plan. And the results didn't surprise me at all. I agree with Dr. Dorfman about handicap parking. Of course, spending so many years as an ADA compliance advocate, those really are the people that we can't, you know, we can talk a lot about limiting driving and walking, but there are, you know, members of our population that are never going to be able to do that. So when I walk around the downtown area, there aren't that many designated parking, blue-striped handicap parking spaces that are on the street. You know, the parking lots, private parking lots have them, of course, but there aren't too many on the street. And maybe that should be something that should be looked at, you know, in those core areas. And also signage. I was on the committee that worked with signage, and I was rather disappointed with how we had some really good ideas about cleaning up the signage, and it ended up being a very single-focused push it through out of frustration. It was hard because one of the things that we kept coming up with when we were going about that, and I really like the idea of trying to utilize better the parking at the ends of the Embarcadero with the trolley option. I've always thought that that was a really good idea with a real short loop parking trolley, you know, parking facility trolley, and I know a lot of communities have done that just to try to get people to park and not drive, and they're getting a better view of the community and the businesses that are there as they're on the trolley. One of the questions that came up was, somebody said that the trolley was accessible. When did we get a lift-equipped trolley? I didn't know that we had one.
The first one we purchased was in 1999, and then the second one came, I think it was 2002 or 2003.
Okay, so
both
of them
routes have lifts in them, and
excellent.
I believe there's two wheelchair spaces in each of the trolley vehicles.
Awesome, thank you.
The old vehicle that we have is not wheelchair accessible, but back when that was one of the trolleys being used on the two routes before we had procured the second, or actually the third vehicle, the drivers just did a communication with one another if there was somebody, and then they would just swap out their routes to go pick up that person. So
great.
It was a little clunky, but it worked until we got that second vehicle.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's nice to know. And, you know, like I said, the signage, the parking, I think that's a great idea. As far as the actual parking itself, I am really concerned about the diagonal parking. I know that it's a very cost-economical way to increase spaces, but there's really, in my opinion, some real specific areas where it works and most where it doesn't. So I'd kind of like to see a little more before something would be generally adopted as an okay, that, you know, more specifics. And I know even in the document it said that some more in-depth engineering analysis would need to be done. Bill, didn't we try angle parking on Monterey when we did the one-way streets on Monterey off of Morro Bay Boulevard?
Yes, we did.
And that lasted about a year?
It lasted slightly more than a year,
2 years,
perhaps.
Maybe, somewhere in there. And, for anybody who didn't know, we did the blocks adjoining Morro Bay Boulevard on Monterey. The streets were turned into one-way streets with parallel parking on one side and angle parking on the other. And it just, for some reason, it just didn't work. And that was a great location because they're nice wide streets. But it still didn't really work well. So that was my biggest concern about the angle parking, safety, people backing up, living in communities that have had it, especially on streets that are high-crested where you have to really kind of give it a little gas to get backed up out of there.
I think that should be, at least brought out that that was one of the recommendations, because I thought that was great. It's so hard to go to San Luis Obispo and have to pay 25 cents for every, 15 minutes? It's really makes it prohibitive to stop in and buy a little $5 item when you're paying, in addition to your gasoline, a lot for the parking. That was great. I think the change to the trolley route is a great idea to keep people away from driving downtown and actually have an easy access and maybe bring in some revenue, although I'm not sure that a trolley actually generates revenue as opposed to taking it away. I had a couple of concerns, and the first one started with the angle parking, because I have been in communities that had angled parking down in San Diego, and especially been a bicycle rider in those communities, and it is a nightmare. That's a few accidents that we almost had were from the angled parking, because when you have an SUV parked next to a person and they try to see, or a truck or something higher than automobile, try to see to go backwards, they can't even see an approaching car, and they certainly can't see an approaching bicycle. It's really, really hard. I think this will detract from the ability for people to use bicycles down in the Embarcadero or the area where you do choose to use it. I think, again, for a small vehicle, it's really hard to be next to a large vehicle and see to be able to go out in traffic. You actually, literally, my husband and I, one of us stands out there and waves to the other one and says it's okay to move in the traffic. I'm sure you've considered it, but that's just from personal experience. We've had such bad experience with that particular thing. The other thing I had the question about is, we don't, certainly it appears from the results of the report, that we have no current problem with the parking in our area except for selected times, which is really good. That means you pretty much optimized your amount of parking, I would say. But what is going to happen in the future? For example, what if the convention center is built and that parking associated with Anthony's is to go away, or will it go away? I didn't see that sort of thing addressed in here. It looked at the current situation. But I'm certainly hoping that Morro Bay has a lot more business in the future, and how will that impact the parking? In other words, is there an intent to revisit the parking plan as the future goes on?
Yeah, maybe it'd be helpful to respond to some of that right now, sure, in case the comment gets picked up. Professionally, this may sound a little thin, but I really wish we did have a parking problem, because that meant we succeeded and we were a bustling commercial activity spine in the community, and we were awash with people with full shopping bags after many years, and then we'll see what kind of a problem we have at that time and deal with those conditions. One of the options on the diagonal was Market Street. And I think we could probably make more effective use of diagonal on Market Street. And that area we identified as potentially where the employees could park, because it's fairly close. And then we may be able to have a well-lit, safe path of travel for the employees that get off late at night. And that's one of the reasons why they tend to park closer to where they work. So that we were hoping that may be like the designated employee parking area, which wouldn't be so much for the visitor. So that was the only one that we were looking at that may seem more attractive to do in some of the earlier years, to get the parking, the employee parking issue.
That would be a lot less in and out turnover,
right,
as far as that for employees.
Right.
Too.
Then, it's a very good observation, the concept of the conference center and what we do with that property. But the expectation is that if we do a project that involves a conference facility there at a hotel, is that it would be a net benefit to parking, because that's a classic example of how the peak and off-peak relationship works with those kind of facilities, because we would be doing conferencing during the middle of the week during off-peak season, and we'd be parked for conference and hotel, and that would be ample parking at our peak season when those activities aren't going on. So, and the idea that there be a public parking component of that project has always been an expectation of the cities, and for that very reason. So from our perspective, that represented more of an opportunity to get more parking, not impact parking.
Thank you. First, let me jump on the same bad bandwagon that has offered applause and high kudos for this report. I agree, is very easily readable for a non-techie as myself. I haven't been in a classroom in 100 years, and this was a joy to read. So I applaud all involved, and I thank you kindly. I do have some questions and concerns about that. Parking timeline enforcement. That's something that has bothered me for a long time, is that we can do all the parking spaces and we can do all the signage and set limits, etc. But if we don't have the enforcement, then all of that is moot. And I think that today is a major problem, is the lack of enforcement. It's not the lack of parking, it's the lack of enforcement. We have in the downtown area signs that say two-hour limits, but we have business owners parking in those two-hour spots all day long. So, I mean, we're defeating whatever it is we hope to gain by trying to control the parking if we don't have the enforcement. So I strongly iterate that, please. Too many signs, too many questions. Are there any current shared parking areas, and if so, how well are they working?
Well, I don't know if we have any agreements yet with folks. I think they're kind of unofficially shared. I know folks use the bank parking lot, for example. But we were looking, the ideas advanced in this were more of a formalized concept where there's some agreement and that there's credit given to the projects that support that parking and formally in the process. But I don't know if there really is any kind of shared parking formalized that we're working from.
Well, there was one that I'm aware of, and I just thought of it as you were talking, and that's the Michael Koss project on Driftwood in Maine, with those single-room apartments plus the 1,000-square-foot commercial. And
Yeah, in that sense, yes, we've done a number of projects where there's been a shared parking component.
Is that what this is implying?
That's one of them, but we were talking about broadening the program to include existing parking uses. That's more of a shared parking that's addressed through the joint uses in the project versus structuring a deal with so-and-so and so-and-so to support this project. And
I could interject what I think I'm confused a bit about, and perhaps in the same way. Are you talking about structuring a deal with
But I thought you were getting at, do we have any formalized agreements, public-private partnership kind of thing?
And we don't right
now.
No. Okay. Because it can work. I mean, if it's everybody knows ahead of time going in, I think communication is great with shared parking. The Blue Sail Inn, the empty lot, which stays empty on the busiest weekends in town, and it's a complete bafflement to me. Is there any way the city can come up with an arrangement with Blue Sail to maybe lease for employee parking, if nothing else? And there's also the big lot that they use during the Harbor Festival. Can that be used for employee parking?
I think it probably could. I know the city's explored on numerous occasions acquiring that and seeing if we could put more effective use of it. It's right in the middle of the Embarcadero, and we've had some challenges working with them. But it still comes up, and it's still on the radar screen, and it represents an opportunity at a key location. So I don't think we're going to give up trying to put that into more effective use.
Okay.
Again, follow up on that. If it's still on the radar, is there any reason not to actually state that more explicitly, identify that in the plan? Because that's what keeps it. Because you're absolutely right.
I appreciate that, yes. I would like that.
See.
Please, thank you.
So it keeps it discussed. Mm-hmm. It gives everyone involved a chance to hear the community feelings on how important that would be.
Thank you. And the last question or concern, one of the last, is the in-lieu parking. I'm a big champion of in-lieu parking. It says on page 71 of the plan, under in-lieu parking, in-lieu fee parking, there's a sentence, retain the current in-lieu fee, blah, 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 but reduce the burden of the in-lieu fee by lowering the number of spaces a developer must provide. Could you explain that, please, and why?
Well, I'd be happy to. That's the idea of recognizing their shared parking. That's the idea of you making more use of public-private partnerships, actually reducing the requirements of the number of spaces down. For example, when you look at giving them credit for on-spec, those little things may take the current calculated parking requirement now down to, say, 20 or 30% perhaps, and that in and of itself kind of reduces the need to generate that much parking, recognizing that this is prime coastal land and we'd rather have people enjoying the area or doing business there as opposed to parking a car there.
So what you're saying then is to formalize in the in-lieu parking agreement the aspect of shared parking if the opportunity arises. Is that how I understand you?
Well, what they're saying is periodically review and adjust as deemed necessary by relevant marking factors, but reduce the burden of the fee by lowering the parking demand that it's generating. And all those things I mentioned are forms of lowering the parking demand.
Okay. I'm sure this will come up again. It's probably more of a planning item than a parking item, the in-lieu parking fee, because that really affects whatever development is coming into town. Okay. We can deal with that at another time. One final concern, if I may, and it's the grandfather parking. That's always been a bugaboo for me in development, planned grandfathering in parking spaces. As I understand, there is absolutely no ordinance, law, regulation, resolution whatsoever demanding that we offer parking spaces grandfathered in to any developer or to anybody. And I'm wondering, why do we continue to do that when our biggest problem with allowing a development to come in is parking?
I'll try to give you a brief explanation for that. The operative provisions for that are addressed in the nonconforming uses section of the code, and that means you may have a legal nonconforming use of a building, which means it was there before or any of the other codes were there, and the presumption was that it was satisfying a parking demand in some way, i.e. through on-street parking. They're allowed to continue using that building if it's used for commercial use, and they're proposing to use it as commercial use, and it was legally used as commercial use, then that's the right, the same thing, right. And what I can add to that is, furthermore, in the recently adopted zoning ordinance that is up at the Coastal Commission now. We caught a defective revitalization tool and economic development tool in older areas where you've got some of these small lots and these older buildings that aren't built out to code, to get rev them up and make them a little bit more marketable for new commercial investment. That's been the experience they had in Paso Robles. They grandfathered parking, but it's a cycle. They used it to get, you know, ramp up their commercial activity. Now they're at the point where they're adjusting their codes again to start to require it. But to a certain extent, they've succeeded, and we hope to have that problem someday too.
Are you going to? It isn't mentioned in this, and I'm asking: should it be? Should there be a paragraph or whatever on grandfather parking? Because
Sure. In
every development, whenever a development comes before the Planning Commission, grandfathered parking is usually a part of that development. And yet, since we don't have a legal ordinance governing grandfathered parking, I'm wondering if maybe we shouldn't at least have it addressed. And you're saying that it can only be used or applied for a like business.
Yes.
The business changes.
If it changes shifts to another use, a more intensive use,
uh-huh,
that carries a different parking requirement, yes, they need to park for the balance of the difference.
Okay.
That's the practice, and that's the way the code, through the nonconforming section, that's how.
Okay.
That's
thank you.
But I understand the comment, and we will add to help clear it up.
Okay, thank you. And the last thing, again, is just to reiterate the need for enforcement.
Yep.
If maybe that can be somewhere addressed, and that probably is the police department request or requirement, so I don't know whether it fits here or not. But to me, it's a real problem is the lack of enforcement. Thank you. Again, an excellent report. I may have some more questions later, but thank you very much.
Before I move on, I just want to, again, follow up on the enforcement to ask if you could state or tell us or in there, is this lack of policy or a lack of staff or a tradition?
Let me tell you how this will work. We're going to forward all of these comments, and we're going to summarize them. And that will be considered by the council. And this is one of the things, one of the comments that your board is forwarding. And I'll leave it
with the report and the other council members that we obviously don't have a huge parking crunch down there in the main throughway of the Embarcadero, the centerpiece of the Embarcadero currently. And it is sandwiched by large parking opportunities. So it makes really good sense to work on our walkability and alternative transportation. Trolley system is an excellent idea. I did want to throw out there the idea of actually reducing the drivability off that section even further and increasing the walkability and also the bikeability of that section and look at the idea of bike gondolas or surreys. That could be something that would provide a really exciting way to get around that area, and it's such a nice area to be in. It's right on the water, and you know this is prime time real estate here. So let's reduce the amount of space in that area that's used for parking, and increase the amount for people to flow and to interact and to feel that real community waterfront feel, and open it up for that circulation. I think that's important. And we have that potential down there because of where we're at right now. And I agree that it's important to work with the parking that we have. And the shared parking idea is a good one. I like the stacking functions of the shared parking. And I guess I was just kind of curious. I didn't see much mention about bikeways in the current proposal here. And I was just wondering how that was going to fit in with the city's master plan for the bike paths and so on, and if there was that was going to be considered also as we move along.
Bill, I'd be happy to give you the bikeways component of this. I do have the comments that you know we'd like to make sure that we've got striping and bike paths, and we do have them there, but bike parking and strengthen that component, the alternative transportation mode component. We got that down, but perhaps Bill can give you some more information on how it aligns with bicycles?
I'd be more than happy to. As you know, anyone who's tried to ride a bike down there, or with the narrow sidewalks to a certain extent, even walk down the sidewalk, we're very constrained on the main stretch of the Embarcadero. It's a narrow right-of-way. We have a narrow street section. We have narrow sidewalks. So that's one of the challenges that we're looking at, is how to maximize the on-street parking while at the same time provide for alternate modes. And that's one of down to, and provide for bike parking and to increase the pedestrian access in those nodes, and to provide, like we at the 714 lot right below Anthony's, you know, we provided bike parking in there. And I think that's kind of, unless we fundamentally change the geometry of the roadway or we change the traffic circulation pattern, that's pretty much where we're going to have to land at this point.
May I ask a question, please, in regards to that? Has this plan incorporated the concept or the thought that closing off the Embarcadero to vehicular traffic? That, every once in a while, that gets floated, and which would eliminate the need for parking. Is that at all in the concept of this management plan, or is that a question that you'd rather not hear about?
Well, no, that's fine. That's the parking management plan is kind of procedurally an adjunct to the circulation element. The circulation element is where you talk about what the community wants to do with its roadway and its transportation systems. The circulation element does not really move forward to a closing of the Embarcadero. There's some options for rerouting the bulk of traffic around through the Front Street corridor. There are some other options like that, but the closing of that really isn't part of this plan. This is trying to maximize that parking and not talking about closing the roads.
Gotcha. Thank you. Just thought I would toss it out there.
Yeah, thank you, Roger, because that's actually something, personally, I think it's a quality idea, considering we have so many hotels and places for people to pull into town, put their stuff down, get comfortable, and spend the time circulating throughout the town. And if we have trolley-type systems or so on, we can really maximize the feeling of the bay down there by, you know, reducing the need for cars to actually enter that space. So something else I was thinking was an incentive-type program, something that really promotes the biking by employees and getting yourself downtown in a way that doesn't require a car. It's a challenge, but to consider ways to really incentivize people to get down there, but to make sure that the lighting is appropriate and not blinding, and I'm sure that's already in the city's master plan. But
I will list, just since in the spirit of things that I think could be covered in. They're mentioned in passing, but could be covered in a different way, maybe a more comprehensive, or not so necessarily in depth, but a more comprehensive in how they fit into the plan, and that's been alluded to. That's where you really want to direct the large vehicle, oversized, the boat trailers that are going to take two or three. That should be in the plan, a comment about it. And I think I felt in my list get a bit more aggressive about the issue of bicycles. Include the, it's sort of a comment that says the bike master plan says people go here, our experience say people go here, and we have to take that into account whenever we talk about giving credit for on-street parking, whenever you talk about the parallel. So in the same document, some of the information is needed for people to make a judgment whether it's sensible or not. And I bring up, when you give credit for the on-street parking, for the following reason. As you develop the areas, and we want to have the problem, we want the development. Some, and these are out years, I realize, but so it's just a suggestion to put in someplace. Think of, what do we want the streetscape to look like? Do you want to make sure you preserve the ability, even as a Class 3, for bicycles? Do you want to then have to think about deliveries pulling in? Do you want bench space with nothing in front of it? Just think, what do you want that, whatever blocks it is, that downtown section, to look like when it's developed? And it's just to put that consideration is one of the considerations when you give on-street parking credit. You know, that was all. When I think you have what you wanted from us in terms of comments, because they've been thoughtful and people, the readability meant people read it. Do you need any action?
You could recommend the document and recommend addressing your comments.
Oh, okay. No action is needed.
You could forward your comments with us, and acknowledging that you agree with the general recommendations with some fine tuning.
Is there any component? See, I'd entertain the kind of motion that we recommend the plan be used as the basis for the producing a final plan as its fundamental conclusions are accurate. And
could I add some more comments?
Sure, more comments. And I wasn't making a motion. I was talking about the kind of motion, and what I want to know is, because your comment may deal with it, is there something that we want to put in the form of a motion that we want to make sure that expresses how strongly we feel as a board about something? And Vicki?
Well, basically, I wanted to kind of, as the discussion's gone on, I'm thinking of some of the comments that I will get from the public and try to, you know, maybe foresee or try to interpret a little bit. And one of the things with parking is it's really a balance. You know, you say more parking, more isn't always better. It's a curvilinear relationship. There comes a point when more is too much. You don't want Morro Bay to look like an asphalt parking lot, you know, and we really don't. And the balance of trying to make the best utilization of our parking is more important than just more. You know, and the shared thing, if I'm understanding correctly, one of the possible options in the shared parking as it's structured more with in-lieu fees and credits, if you have two businesses that want to go in a similar area and one is more of a restaurant night type business and one is a day shop, they don't need to have the full amount of capacity that the code would generally require for their parking, right? Because that would make sense that they wouldn't be open at the same times. That parking could be shared. We could have a smaller lot and still accommodate it. And that would be, if I'm understanding correctly, that would be one of the possible options to allow some smarter parking. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to say I love the green idea. I've been a real big advocate of trying to reduce the amount of pavement since we have so little of our rainwater that's actually going through the ground now. It's all kind of running off to the bay, and when you asphalt or concrete, there's nothing that's going to seep through. And some of the, I'm not sure what they call it, the open kind of waffle weave grate pavement that allows water to see how to write parking tickets, because it's additional training. So, I mean, it's really up to when those people are on duty. And I know one, you know, Friday and Saturdays, they're out there all the time, but it is a problem. So I hope that if we want to address enforcement, that we're equally supportive with council to try to help budget for more personnel and for funding, you know, for the PD. That's been one of the problems when people say, why don't we put meters in? It's like, well, how much would it cost to put each meter in? Who's going to empty and maintain the meters? We might just be generating revenue barely enough to pay for the person to maintain it. And is that a good trade-off? Maybe not. So it just points that I wanted to bring up, because the general public will wonder, and I think maybe those are legitimate concerns, and we didn't really discuss them a lot. As far as getting back to some form of motion, I really like the idea. The plan was great. I hope people read it, because it is kind of intimidating, but it is very easy to read, and the maps are very very descriptive and very clear. And I know they said in there that there were recent photographs, but I know the pictures, they're maybe at least 4 years old. Maybe, I don't know what recent is recent, but I think it did a good
recent
job with getting it.
Recent depends on how old you are.
Yeah, there you go. What's an oldie station? Yeah. So, but anyway, I mean, I support it, and I hope that we can send that through and with council to hopefully listen and read our comments.
Anyone want to make well, is there a feeling about, I mean, I feel that it would be good to specifically, since endorse the immediate recommendations in regard to the Embarcadero, meaning the trolley and the enhancement of the use of the peripheral parts of the walkways to make it attractive, and the signage. Those are the immediates, with the caveat that they be done with attention to also handicap and bicycle considerations. And that would be one motion, because that's specific things that I think pretty much I heard everyone agree on, and that it comes there to the council then in that way.
I just like to have something in there about parallel parking, which sounded like it was
very good, tangible, constructive suggestions. We will do the best to strengthen the document. And, you know, we want to make the most effective use of this as possible. So we will integrate these comments. And these aren't things where you've got different interests. These are pretty straightforward topics that we're talking about.
Well, then, what you're suggesting is simply we forward the plan endorsing its fundamental conclusions as its fundamental conclusion that there is not a deficiency in parking. So that's the fundamental conclusion of it.
With the comments that Mr. Rambo has written down.
With our comments.
Endorse
the plan to be forwarded is the basis for further discussion.
So move with it.
Okay. Second? Dan has seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. And then you are stretching.
Practicing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well,
thanks for your good ideas and your comments and suggestions. Those are good things that we want. We're looking forward to hearing, and we expect to hear more. So.
Okay.
Where we'll go with it is we'll go to the council, and then I expect them to say, go give us a final draft, and then they'll decide what they want to do with the final draft. The next thing, though, that I think you will be seeing, and I'm pretty sure the signage idea will stick with this, is we will be coming back to you with the signage program, because we want to make sure everybody understands where we're sending folks around town, and the copy on the signs and so forth. And the other benefit to that is some of the concerns I heard were that, you know, there was this proliferation of signage and there's no relationship, it's too much visual clutter and so forth. That was one of the ideas in the sign program that was developed, is to eliminate that. So we'll send that along. I think that'll get at a lot of your concerns, because that was one of the major concepts of the directional signage program, was to get at that problem. So you'll have a refresher in that when we come back on the directional signage.
Yeah, I did want to say the website plan is a good one. That's very helpful for people to have. So. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. And moving your
believe that it has the possibility to be a final draft, but I didn't want to be that cocky.
Okay. Yeah, Bill told me plan for it on the 20th, but maybe not. I'm saying maybe not. So I didn't put it in. I was confident for you.
Yeah, so I did. You know, I tried to answer the questions that the board presented at the last meeting. I got a good translation, a good Spanish translation. I put the notice onto legal size. I think it's pretty darn readable. I had to kind of tweak the margins a little bit. I kind of modified the plan itself to reflect the previous discussions. And frankly, if you don't have any concerns, or you know, obviously if you have concerns, you need additional information, not a problem. Having said that, thank you very much, and let's go.
Okay, and it satisfies all the legal requirements the state had about
sir,
what
yes,
has to
sir.
Be in a notice.
Sir, and yes, sir. It has all the mandatory language the state requires.
Maybe you've answered this before. I'm going to just start off with one procedural. It got answered. Who triggers it? You
sir,
get a
yes,
notice.
Sir.
Yes, it was answered.
Yes, sir.
I realize in the narrative. Say, comments?
If I may, please. Thank you. Excellent, Bill.
Thank you.
And I like the Spanish translation. It's perfect.
Thank you.
Even I could read it. I have just one comment, please.
Fire away.
Right here where it says drinking water warning.
Yes, sir.
Would it behoove us to have that larger? So that's the very first thing.
Increase font size there?
Oh, I would double it if you could. Make it extremely bold. Very bold. Bolder.
Or the part that's bold, that was my comment, too. The stripe across
the
top.
Yes,
something, there's room there in your formatting to make that.
Well, unfortunately, I'm using a Word format.
Oh.
And for those of you that, like me, aren't big Microsoft fans,
the
text box for the letterhead takes up a lot more room than the image.
Is it possible to make it?
You can overlay.
I can show you how to do that.
I'll squeeze as much font size into those first two lines as humanly possible without dumping out the bottom of the page.
Well, you know what? If I may continue, please. The line underneath, do not give water to infants, you've already got that right here. And if you eliminate that sentence.
Because, you know, we lost an inch.
Right. Because I would like to see something that really hits them. As soon as they see it, they go, you know? Yeah. Because right now, if you don't have your glasses on.
Large font, bolded.
Thank you.
Or you could play with the shadowed font, whatever jumps off at.
Right.
I mean, it's a sort of visual judgment call.
Can do.
Any other comments?
Just the Spanish version, and I'm sure it's something you would correct anyway. It doesn't have the bolding the same as the other version.
Correct.
And I really like that. Do not give the water to infants. Pregnant women should not consume. I mean, it's right there. It makes it stand out. Can you bold the Spanish version too?
Ma'am, yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay. And I realize that you did put who triggers it, but who triggers it should be written into the plan.
It is.
Oh, it's just discussion.
Yeah.
Who triggers it?
It says
receipt.
Department staff on the plan itself.
The telephone.
Because remember, the first thing that once, and we discussed this the first time, so I apologize for kind of going back. When we received the results from the lab, the council made it quite clear that they want to be informed immediately.
Yeah, but that's what I said. It doesn't say if this is the plan, there isn't that step upon receipt of. It starts with step one, telephone city council members.
Okay.
And that's what I meant to put it in the plan.
Okay, so add a clause.
Well, add what you put in answer to the question, who triggers? Upon receipt of laboratory results of nitrate, publicist would contact the fire
got
police
it.
Chief. You got it. So then it's complete. That's all.
Got it.
Vicki, is it here?
No, just the font, just the jump it out a little bit bigger.
Well,
at the top.
I think we're ready to meet your fondest expectations. If someone would move.
I would be very interested to hear what you think that is.
I'd like to make a motion that the board accept this third version of the draft as is with our
minor comments.
With the minor comments of the font enlargement and boldness.
And recommend it be forwarded to the city.
Recommend it be forwarded to
I'd
city council.
I'd second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
It was unanimous.
Thank you very much. Not an easy thing to do. Of course, never losing track that the main purpose of this plan is to never have to use it.
Yes. The next item we have is the board agenda work plan, and it's I'm trying to fall into a routine here of this grid, which now has already been modified so that next week, next time on the 20th, we have the sanitary sewer system management plan and the joint transit RFP awards, which I think fairly fill up a meeting, Bill, would you say? Or I'm not, could you give us a sense of how much time those particular items?
I can't pretend to tell you how long Janine's item will last on the transit RFP. I know they're going, they're having subsequent meetings. That's why
so there's some issues unresolved.
There are some issues. There's some agencies apparently aren't, you know, there's, you try to lump it all into one cauldron and not everybody gets served. I can probably tell you with some level of confidence that with the way that things have been going, we will probably not be ready with the SSMP.
The sanitary sewer system management
plan? I would not count on that being ready.
Okay. That tells us that as we now go and we've reviewed it, and there's a good shot at having time for one of our items, and if we know it now, yes, I'm thinking that's the one that's probably ready, the underground. If we know it now, we have time, just time, to do the publicity. And I can, so let's discuss our two items. There was the underground utilities, and did Dan in the packet supplied what would be the presentation, and why don't you discuss it more? You know, would want to know that were they successful?
It hasn't yet been completed. I didn't want to take away from the meeting, but I hope Mr. Alexander, who will be the speaker on this,
did that be enough? To move this to the queue and actually try and put it on next month, would that be enough notice to the presenter?
The only provision, I have to talk to Homer, I would do that immediately.
Okay.
And confirm the date, which I don't see as a problem.
So,
and then I would also suggest when we get into promoting this. When we get into promoting any of these educational things, we'd like to get a wider viewer audience. B News is one of the papers.
I have a list of all the email contacts.
I was trying to say was that, for example, tonight's meeting will appear in the Bay News on my doorstep tomorrow. So there's a hitch in the delivery there. But I don't think people can remember a whole month ahead. I better write down.
Yeah.
So we need to catch them about the week before the event.
And if my thoughts on publicity on the educational ones are, one, I have the list and I will email it tonight and prepare an appropriate news release just saying at the Public Works Advisory Board. I don't want to skip ahead. Are we all agreed that this is a hallmark? Because it's the first one that goes from being in this list to in the queue, and we're actually going to put it for the 20th, is that since there is a local interest aspect, maybe the week before they would do an interview of these neighbors who did this. I mean, and then it appears as a local interest story. Request the Bay News. You call up.
Oh, sure. Give Neil Farrell a heads
up. Yeah, you call up Neil and say, could you? Because our objective is simply to get viewership so people learn about this discussion, this item that people always ask about.
And I might note, Mr. Chair, that we've got a fairly good amount of documentation on underground districts and how to pursue them and that sort of stuff that we can certainly make available to help flesh out whatever documentation you want to provide.
And I would ask you give that directly to Dan, and
sure.
he will give use his judgment as to what he
sure.
would want to put in the packets. And just, it's the, you know, you get your packets, you get a call Thursday and Friday before. Publicly funded districts, but
No, but we do have quite a bit of information on that, and we followed the Wires Be Gone and a couple other groups that have trying to been pursuing this same sort of thing as well.
Then, that being said, as I say, I'm on the hook to do that tonight because I'm leaving town tomorrow. But I send you all those emails. I got them from another department that issues news releases about events. So.
Could I make some suggestions? If you were budgeting a half hour of time, typically when underground utilities have come up and the public will be involved, there's a lot of issues that get a little more complicated with questions to explain that you might want to budget a little extra time than what you would necessarily think for questions. I mean, we could have a full house. We could have two people show up.
But Vicki, that's a good point. What I want to say is that in sitting down in a conversation with Homer Alexander, 30 minutes would go by, and he would cover the logic that he went through step by step by step. Now, when someone raises their hand, that will add extra time. That's why I said it might be another 15 minutes or so of questions.
Yeah.
I think if no one comes, and which I hope people do come, but if no one comes, it'll be his presentation, and we may ask questions to highlight things that we think, oh, if there were someone in the audience, what would they ask? Because this is educational. If there's a number of people here, we will provide the opportunity to ask questions, and we will adjust what we can, like we did tonight, in the agenda, and assess what we think is the time needs will be next week. And next meeting, but I think that's it's somewhere between 30 and 45 minutes. And what Bill has indicated is both of the planned items may slip, so that'll be what we'll discuss, and I'm sure it'll be successful.
Can I recommend that we really budget an hour, and that way we're covered, and if it doesn't take an hour, then we can get out of here earlier.
If it doesn't take an hour, we can get out early, but if one of these shows up, we have to tend to it.
We need to prioritize the city issues.
If one of the two items, sanitary sewer management plan or the joint
Rivers TV and radio, that, you know, within 2-3 weeks tops, if you get a little blurb into them, they will air it, that might be a little, you know, a nice way for
the public.
Those
are on the list. You know, the community calendar kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's on the list. But I think notifying other chairs is, can you give Dan a list of all those people rather than you sending it? Then it's done once and for all. And copy it to all of us so we'll have it for future. If you give with Dan, that okay? You forward whatever news release, a little note saying, could you mention this at your meeting? It's purely educational, but it'll help us get the word out.
Well, what I'll do is have a little diary of what I did, and then just copy on it by email to each board member, so you have it.
Or you could always send to the city clerk, to Bridget Bauer, and she could distribute it to all the boards.
Yeah, Bridget could do that, and it's my only wrinkle is I'll be out of town for the next couple of days, so I can do
just
it on Monday.
To Bridget, could you distribute this to all the board members, and you have a little thing, could you please announce? And the next item we had planned to discuss, and Roger, we didn't get all that we thought the previous Wally McRae stuff, but Roger supplied what is this the text of what they adopted?
Did they adopt it? Yes. Yes, it's what the council decided. And it was a 5-0 recommendation. And I just think right now, as far as the urban forest management plan, it's just when do we want to agendize it if we do, and if we do, I would recommend that we invite Wally McCray, invite Lionel, and I don't know his last name, thank you, the gentleman that is with the oak trees. And then there's a Katie Gardner that I think Noah knows, that I think she would be quite viable and informative. And there is one other, and I need to talk to her first before I admit her name.
Now, is the idea that, given now that they've passed this, to then bring us and the community?
The Green Accords that the city is very involved in.
I want to make sure I understood what you just said, which makes sense to me, and that's that it's to educate the public why someone would do this and how it affects our city.
Right, and I'm looking at the future.
And and the next step being, given what's in the plan, after hearing that also for ourselves, is there anything we would want the council, going back to them, to say, we hope you could consider directing us to work further on such and such aspect of it, given this long list, to bring some focus, and that way then staff can be assigned, that kind of thing?
I don't know that we need to involve staff at the moment. It's just
not now. The idea of asking the council to, I thought in a previous conversation you said that we would ask the council to, or we would say, we think that we would be helpful to work on such and such aspect of this, and invite the council.
I think the first thing to do is to agendize it for a future meeting where we as a board can discuss what we want to do.
I just wanted to understand.
And then take it from there.
No.
I would agree with Roger, and I think something that we can do as a quick and easy educational component of that discussion would be to invite potentially someone from the NEP or the San Luis Obispo Native Plant Society. Both those organizations have put out really quality native planting guides and guides to help people plant trees in a good way. So they are very interested in getting the outreach and word out about their publication. The city already has these available in the planning department, so it might be a good way to highlight some of the resources that are already out there. And those presentations are already prepared by the different organizations that have done the documents.
So what I've heard is that it would be why we have an urban forest management plan, some of the current activities that are relevant to it going on, and discuss the plan in the context of possible future activities of this board. So they're all committed that we're going to do this. That's all it means. Mm-hmm. Anyone object? No? So, okay, that moves up to the queue. And then you were going to say you wouldn't want to do it before.
What I would say is if the board liked the idea of having a brief presentation on one of these documents that's available in the planning department by the group that designed the document, highlighting some of the things relative to the urban forest management plan, like our trees, I would be very willing to contact these groups and find out when their availability would be if the timeline and put together something exactly like Dan did.
What I'm looking for is this is something that you and Roger have to staff. And it doesn't seem to me that a presentation of an existing document that actively people could use now has to there's no reason not to split it into two. If they occur, if you feel you have too much, including to cover in one meeting, some of these circumscribed presentations could be at another time separately, just like you talked about the telephone one, you know. So just work out something. Do what Dan said. He'll be keeping the diary about the publicity, because I think the groundwork that we do is going to really pay off in terms of service to the public.
Well, I think once you as chair, let Noah and myself know when you're going to agendize it. Then we can jump, get a small staff report prepared, and invite the necessary people.
The agendizing is really dictated by time, and I think that the earliest would probably be August, and I'm basing that on that I expect in July we're going to have the sewer management and joint transit.
I believe Ms. Burlingame intends to be ready for the transit RFP next month.
Oh, on the 20th. I misunderstood.
I believe so. So you might be ready for July on this one.
Okay. Do you know of anything else you know of coming in July at this point?
I will have to confer with Mr. Livick to see what his plans are.
Okay. If you could and let me know next, because if they say, oh, we're not here in July, then we know it's definitely August because we want to do it right. And the review of the phone book, how easy, you made that sound like that's pretty easy to arrange.
That could happen very easily, but if we're moving on from the urban tree management plan?
I think we're done with what we can, and it's just if we want to add things to this suggested item list or anything like that.
Yeah, the review of the environmental info and the phone book can happen at any time. Although I'm feeling like we, with the discussion of the nitrate notification plan and the agreement that we all want to avoid this from needing to ever be implemented, I think we do need to bump up the water shutdown management plan, which is also, you know, accompanied by some sort of education and outreach to reduce the chances of, you know, us contaminating our water. And so I'd like to get that into the queue.
Well, that leaves one key question, and that is, in the normal course of work, without us asking you to do anything additional, is something that looks like or smells like the details of the steps that you go through, both internally and external communication, when the shutdown takes place. That's what you're talking about. Does that kind of pieces of paper get produced anyway?
Yeah, that was kind of this item's kind of interested me on, kind of me on the outside, and these are your items. I was just wondering what the board members were going to do on this item.
Well, that's
There's absolutely no. I have no trepidation whatsoever about providing documentation on that. We've got a number of contingency plans that have already been prepared, already been submitted to State Health, which actually we did before the end of the calendar year.
I think part of it is we have an interest, and I think the interest is we want to show the public that we as a city, and that includes us and you, are proactive. And
right.
I think that they realize, when they realize all this stuff that goes on, when something sometimes still goes wrong,
right,
it wasn't because no one was paying attention.
Well, and maybe I haven't been clear on this, but in the director's report, I've been telling you, what we've been doing.
Oh, yes.
On a month-to-month basis.
But with some publicity, this is what your city is doing in anticipation of it this time.
If I may?
Yes.
I think part of the idea was there's so much information that's always in the director's report, it doesn't always get gone over. But the perspective from the public is that's really kind of the stuff they skim, And for us as a board to take a more proactive, aggressive step in bringing it out of the director's report as a public information and education, I think that was really what we wanted to accomplish, to really try to emphasize directly to the public, this is coming up, and this involves you, and this isn't some staff thing that you can just glaze over. This is important, and I think that was what the board was really trying to want to do, is to take that facilitative role for the public.
I think that's an excellent way of saying what's slowly transitioning, because in saying, well, let's receive the director's report except for this or that, it's not saying the content isn't important. It's having a different process of using it and highlighting it that we think is more useful.
So
agreed we're moving the water shutdown management plan up in the to the queue, so we have plenty to fit in, and we'll all get that document.
Yeah,
so
and it, that may be something that we may want to agendize as a staff item rather than
yeah.
a board item.
And it and there's it can be both. It just satisfies.
I can provide additional documentation and not just dump a document on you and then expect
yeah.
you to
well,
do the staff work from your side.
People are so anxious. I know I am to just see what it looks
right.
like in the rough,
sure.
and say, "Oh, this is cool," and you know, just put a cover letter on it, and there we go.
Yeah, and the timing seems appropriate because you've had a lot to focus on with the nitrate plan, and you know,
and
now we're slowing down just a little bit.
Well, and also I've been kind of committed to putting out the first of the public outreach newsletters in April. April's gone, and
now,
the flyer's not out yet. So
you didn't say which April.
That's true.
Too,
but, you know, and that's something that I've just struggled to get into my queue is to do that. So so hopefully with Dylan is just. Is a godsend.
He's an angel.
That my schedule is freeing up more where I can pay more attention to these items.
And I want to note it's 8:02. We're having such a good time.
And of course, let us know how we can help with the public outreach.
All opposed? Gee, no one is.